What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? Welcome back to the show. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to the show. Subscribe, like it, do all the good stuff you got to do, and share it around to tell your friends about it. Today's a great episode. We got one of my good buddies, Mr. Tom Segura. I don't even know how to say it. I think it's Segura. But I'm stoked to have him. The dude is so much fun to talk to and good to look at, ladies. That shiny, beautiful face of his. He's a gorgeous man. But I got good news. For the fans, we got new merch, baby! Bing, 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 bing. Like this hat right here is on the website. Go to AndrewSantinoStore.com, AndrewSantinoStore.com, to find all the brand new merch. T-shirts, hats, highball whiskey glasses with yours truly's mug all over it. I'm pretty proud of this stuff. This is the first time that I've been like, oh yeah, we can roll out all this good new stuff. And I think people will like it. So go to AndrewSantinoStore.com to check out the merch. Go to my website, AndrewSantino.com, if you want to find out everything else you need to know about me, including links to the Patreon, which I highly recommend because I'm doing one-on-one Cheeto chats, more intimate episodes. The solo eps are there. So go over there to the Patreon at AndrewSantino.com. But if you want to pick up some new merch, go to AndrewSantinoStore.com. Support the Whisk Ginge crew, please. Whiskey Ginger fans, get your lips on some of this. Drink up some Buffalo Trace. It's the only bourbon with balls since 1773. They've been operating as the oldest running distillery in the United States, my friend. The oldest continuously operating distillery in America. Buffalo Trace is the best. I've talked about this sauce before. It's my favorite juice, man. They make so much good stuff. And these guys aren't messing around. And Kentucky said that it's vital medicine right now, so it needs to continue during the pandemic. And I couldn't agree more. This stuff is good to get inside your body. They got some great stuff over there. I visited the campus. It's incredible. They're great people. They age this bourbon for a minimum of 8 years, which is longer than most bourbons that you're going to get in your hands. For the quality and the price, it's incredible. I can't talk enough about it. The other guys, you know their competition, those other common names, those two guys that start with J, they're boo-boo compared to this stuff, man. This is the good jazz. Honestly, it's high-quality, high-level stuff. And their other stuff, Eagle Rare and Blanton's and Pappy, is just as good as this jazz in a different way. Go get your hands on some of this right now. They're not going to slow down. They're keep pumping it out. And they're donating to those in need, to our heroes that are on the front lines doing the good thing, giving them alcohol so they can wipe their hands. Not for their stomach. That's this stuff. But it's distilled, aged, and bottled by Buffalo Trace Distillery, 90 proof, Franklin County, Kentucky. Buffalo Trace is American family-owned and fiercely independent. Go grab some Buff Trace near you.
In here, we pour whiskey, 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 whiskey.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy ginger.
Like that. The ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers? Oh, hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Got his fucking Air Force Ones on, dude.
I got some kicks.
You match so well, too.
It was, you know what? It was a coordinated effort today, meaning that I knew I was coming on here for the first time,
yeah,
waiting for the invite for a while, but coming on.
Not true.
And I was like, I threw these on, and then my son, one of my sons was standing next to me, and he was like, what shirt you gonna wear? And I was like, wow. I don't know, man. I started pulling shirts out. He goes, why don't you just pick one? You know how fucking stupid you feel?
How old is your son now?
He's 4.5, the older one. He's wow. Like, why? He goes, why are you? Because I was like picking out different shirts. And I go, well, how do you pick? He goes, I just pick one.
Smart.
And I was like, yeah, dude, all right.
He knows exactly how to dress. And yeah. He said, Dad, you got this. You have to fix this up. This has to match that to match the kicks. And it does, though.
It all matches, though.
Well, you look good. Thanks. I have on, this is really embarrassing.
Those are nice.
Yeah, these are cool Stan Smith, but they've got these hard ties at the end.
Yeah.
But sometimes they clank when I walk. And it's embarrassing.
Those look good.
But I walked into a cafe and they're like, click, 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 click.
I mean, this is also, by the way, matching on its own level. Yeah, this is a match.
I do matchy stuff, but it's because I only have three colors.
Yeah, I'm kind of like you.
People talk about me in the comments, are always like, oh, buy new clothes. But I can't afford it. And people need to know that. I don't have any money to buy new clothes.
I knew that.
Yeah, you know that because you care about me. But they you know, they just want to like, you know, belittle me. And it's like, dude, I can't afford to buy new stuff. So black and blue and gray is all I can afford.
Mm.
Once you get into like reds and yellows, greens, teals, all that stuff, it's expensive. Those are thousands and thousands. I imagine. I don't know.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they cost when you go?
I have a few. I have a yellow shirt and I have a teal shirt. They were $2,800 each.
A piece?
A piece.
See, and that sounds
That's
expensive.
For the color. It's just for the color.
Do you wear them ever?
I mean, on special occasions, you know. Mostly I wear black because it's free.
Yeah, black is always, well, that's why I wear these pants. These are free. Everything black is free clothing-wise. Everybody knows that. But one day I'll get into, if, I mean, you know, if something good happens in the biz, I'll be able to afford a yellow or blue shirt.
I'd love to be there that day.
I'll invite you.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to introduce my guest. I should do that first. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again today. It is Tom Segura.
Yeah, thank you. It's not welcome back, though.
I'm welcoming the guests back. Because
you're welcoming them back.
I'm welcoming the fans back.
The fans back.
Yeah, okay. They're
returning.
They're returning.
Yeah.
No new fans will come from this, is what I'm saying. I never get new fans.
Ever?
I've had the same 55 listeners since we started the podcast.
That's growing.
It's big.
That is big.
It's big. We're taking over. And I got to tell you, I don't really want more people to listen to it. I think we're going to settle with this. So cheers to that.
Yeah, cheers.
Bottom clink, because we can't, the pandy we can't touch. Just a little bit of something for the blood. Isn't that good?
Mm.
Isn't that good?
I like it.
That's Hollywood stuff, dude.
You got this from Hollywood?
I called my guy Mike Hollywood and I said, can you get me some blood?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a 48-year-old Puerto Rican man's blood.
That's good.
It's really good.
And it fucks you up if you drink blood?
Yeah, it fucks you up enough. Yeah, because it messes with the levels of your own blood. It gets inside of your own blood and you get a little bit more, you get a little lucid. And
I bet if it doesn't match, that's probably not good for you, but that's probably what makes it feel good, right?
You poop it right out. You poop it right out if it doesn't mesh.
Oh, really?
Yep. Not a big deal whatsoever.
You'd be a good doctor.
Thank you, dude. I just need to inform some people. For people that don't know, Tom Segura is probably one of the most, famous is a dumb word, infamous comic orators of our time. A little unknown stuff about you that people don't know is you actually wrote the original screenplay for Hamilton, for the play Hamilton.
Yeah.
Which I think is so annoying that guy took all the credit for it.
And took all the royalties and took all the...
Oh, you're not getting paid.
Nope.
That's offensive, dude. Because that's your play.
So Lin-Manuel and his mom and my mom were like friendly and they, you know, they used to like spick shit together. And so,
oh,
like,
cool.
So like when, you know, we got to talking about, he likes hip hop and I was like, yeah, right. I do too.
Right.
So we started kind of going back and forth and then he's like, you know, do you know anything about history? And I was like, I don't know anything about history. Dude, what do you want to know about? So I'm the one that gave him the whole background on, you know, like.
On Hamilton.
Dude, yeah. So
he didn't know any of that stuff until you?
Nothing.
What a thief, dude.
No, nothing. He was like, we were founded in 16. I was like 16.
He didn't know
the year, you know. Yeah.
What is he? You know what, dude? But and when I saw the goatee, I thought that's a
giveaway.
That's a giveaway.
Yeah.
Tom probably said, "Oh, why don't you shave into a goatee?" Because he used to have a beard.
Yeah. Well, the goatee, because what happens when you have a goatee, your lips look like an asshole. I was like, I know you're an asshole.
Yeah.
So, you know, why don't you
put a goatee on your face?
Put a goatee on your face.
God, that's smart. That's smart. Well, you do so many other great, wonderful things. You have a podcast that I loved coming on. Let me redo that. You have a podcast that I enjoyed being a part of. And it's called Where My Mom's At. And it's an unbelievably funny podcast and I can listen to it all day.
Thank you.
It's really good.
It is really good. And it's Christina's. That's her mom podcast.
Oh,
Where My Mom's At.
No, Christina's is the your mom's house.
No, the other way.
No, Christina's podcast is your mom's house, and
well, it's also hers because she co-hosts.
Right. Oh, so they're both hers.
Well, I mean, yeah, but
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are both hers. But speaking of which, dude, speaking of hip hop, really annoyed at something that happened not too long ago.
What's that?
That you wore a Gangstar shirt from our mutual friend DJ Premier, and he tweeted about it or grammed about it.
Yeah.
And you know, I wore three Gangstar hats and I, you know, that he sent to me and I got no love and it really like kind of hurt my feelings.
Isn't it the fucking, like the post is obviously flattering, but isn't it crazy to have a relationship with him?
I was in my bed. He's texting me one morning and I said to my wife, I said to her, this is the craziest shit on earth. I'm texting my literal musical like hero as a kid.
Yeah.
And she was like, who is it? I said, it's DJ Premier, Gangstar. She's like, oh yeah, I like Gangstar. Yeah, you play me Gangstar. And I was like, isn't this insane? She's like, yeah, that's cool. But she, it's like, she didn't, It didn't register. I'm like, babe, dude, this is if Whitney Houston texted you.
Right, right.
Like, that's what this is.
I got, okay, so I've always been a huge, huge fan. And I know a few hip hop people. He is like the absolute top of the food chain to me. And I've, I would never, you know, I've on social media, I've liked stuff. Maybe I've commented once or twice.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was from a distance. I never like was like trying to get in there. You know what I mean? I was like, that feels like a weird.
It's weird to fish for a hip hop friend.
Yeah. Like, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Right.
Dude, so I wore a shirt that I bought from his store on something, and he posted in his stories, and then he sent me a message, and I was like, wait a minute, and I had to keep looking at the name to like, I was like, with the check mark, I was like, no,
he's not
doing this.
Yeah,
and then I like went back to it, and I went back to the message, and then he was like, the special is great, and I love the podcast, and I was like, wait, what? So I responded, and we started going back and forth, and I immediately started to do screen grabs, and I, my two college roommates, who we all listened to the same music together, I was like, you're definitely going to shit your pants on this one. Because sometimes they've seen me, like, you know, on a show or in a movie or something or some comment, and they'll go like, isn't that crazy that you... I go, you guys are going to die.
Yeah.
You're going to die. And they're like, what? I go, you have just... I am chatting with, like, our, I said, you know, hero. And they're like, what? Who? And I said, Primo. And they were, and they just sent, like, blown brain emojis.
Yeah, those,
and they were like, yeah. And they were like, no. And I, and so then I sent them, and they were like, what the fuck is happening? Mike, one of my friends was like, if you are going to go, like, hang out while he DJs, can I please be there?
Just be near you
guys? Yeah, he's like, I'll do whatever. I'll sweep the floor. And I was like, dude, I'm just, and then we started.
Him being such a fan of comedy.
It's crazy.
It is wild because, well, the more I meet hip-hop artists as years go on of guys that I have loved forever, the more you realize that they love comedy so much. And somebody, a fan once asked me, what do they think the connection is? And I really couldn't put my finger on it. I was like, I don't know why a lot of hip-hop artists like love stand-up comedy. I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's much different than other musicians, but for some reason, so many hip-hop artists I know through the grapevine that have been like, oh, dude, huge fans of comedy. Which I'm like, oh, I wonder why that is versus, you know, like at the store, sometimes we would get like, famous musicians would come through, you know, a couple of bands that are big into like the comedy world, but it's more rare, you know, like Rory Scovel and all those guys. They know.
Jack White.
Yeah, they know Jack White and that whole crew. They kind of they're into it, and I know that like Tool apparently, like the guys that you know they followed Tool. Do you know about this?
Yeah,
they went on the road. They followed
Tool. Rory did that too.
Yeah, and they figured out, I guess, that like Tool knew who they were and was fans of comedy. I was like, I think there's like there's this crossover of musicians that always there has existed, but a lot of times we won't like they won't admit it. We can always admit that we're huge fans,
right?
But a musician for some reason because we're clowns, like they don't really want to admit that they go to the circus.
And also, I think some people will go, they'll think of if somebody says I'm a Santino fan, they'll go, so you like this perspective on something, The person who says they're a fan is like, the guy makes me laugh.
It's just
funny. I don't break down everything he says.
You know, in 98 one time, he did it. Well, what's even funnier, sometimes when someone will claim you said something that you didn't say, you know, that they're like, nah, but you know, he did that joke about this thing, you know, like if someone will say that to me, they go, yeah, Tom did this joke. It was about this thing. And then I'll tell them who really said it. I'll go, that wasn't Tom. That was some other idiot.
Yeah.
And they'll go, yeah. I still don't like Tom for that.
Yeah.
It's like, you'll get
the... You still get the thing.
Like, you'll get it, even though someone didn't...
The opposite of that is when somebody goes, dude, I love your bit about The Rock. And I'm like, I don't have a bit about The Rock.
You're like... They're like, yeah, you do.
They're like, it's hilarious. And I can tell how happy they are. They're like, that's the funniest shit.
And you're I'm
like... Yeah, no, it's pretty good. And
they're like, at some point, you just accept it.
You're like, yeah. They're like, I show it to all my friends. And I'm like, oh,
thanks,
great.
Man. Well, you know, it is my bit.
Yeah.
I had a bit one time that... this was the best way I've ever heard somebody handle one of these, like, oh, we have a joke in common.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bit that was kind of similar to Fitz's. Greg Fitzsimmons. Fitzdaug had a bit, and he was working out this new bit at the Improv or something. And I walked up to him afterwards, and I was like, hey, man, I just want to tell you, we kind of have this, like, weirdly, there's one link that's pretty similar in this bit. And that's how a friend handles it. You know, you just go to someone, you go, hey, dude, we do this weird. There's something. I just want to let you know it's not the same, but and literally Fitz goes, oh, really? I go, yeah. And he goes, oh, man, who does it better? And I was like, oh, you do. And he goes, okay, that's all I want to know. He goes, as long as I do it better, then I don't fucking care.
He's so funny.
Yeah, and it was, unfortunately, his take was better. So it was just, it was annoying because he was right. Like, he had never seen mine. He was joking around, but my ego check set off where I was like, yeah, his version is funnier.
That is that's a very real moment, though.
Whose is better?
When you go, oh, wait a minute.
Fuck, his is better.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever had a joke that someone else has done that you never talked about? Did you ever, like, that you never approached them on, where you're like, it's close, but it's not that close?
I've tried to go, I remember being at the Improv on Melrose and seeing somebody, you know, they just like, they had a premise that I'd already done and recorded and everything.
Oh, you put it out already.
And so I was like, do I say something? And I was like, hey, just so you know, I have a bit that like tackles the same topic. Immediately people get defensive. They're like, oh, I'll stop doing it. I go, no, you don't have to stop doing anything.
Right.
I'm just letting you know.
Just in case.
That it's out there. And another time I told somebody that kind of thing where I go, I'm doing a bit like this. And then they were like, oh, okay, should I stop? I go, look, they're different jokes.
Yeah.
I'm letting you know because you know I'm here tonight, that when you see me do it, it wasn't from tonight, me going like, no, that's a great, like, you have to like let them know, like, hey man, I'm already doing this bit.
Yeah.
You know, I've done that. I mean, my favorite, I've told this story before, but like, I did a bit over 10 years ago on an album, and it came out, and then Mulaney did the same topic, and he's like, you know, the perfect comedian. So everyone's like, all his bits are great. So people started to hit me up. This was like a while ago. Like, oh, cool Mulaney bit you did.
What was it, by the way?
It was a midget N-word comparison.
I have the same. I'm doing that bit right now.
Do it. Run with it. It's brand new. So I did it.
Did you say the N-word?
Yeah.
I say it over and over and over.
I say it like 45 times.
My bit is I don't say the M-word because the M-word's offensive to me.
Which is,
I say little person. I think the M-word is disgusting. But the N-word, I'll say 1,000 times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I say that a bunch, and then I say, but little LP. I'll say LP.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But he did a bit like that, and then...
Well, we did the similarity is that the comparison, the premise is the same.
Sure.
You're comparing the two gravity of the words. We're both probably like, I don't know, man, like 29 or something.
Right.
Like at the time, and whatever. It comes out on an album. I do it on a half-hour special. He does his, I think, on an album and a special. They're not the same joke, but they are the same, you know.
Set up a little bit. Yeah, right.
And I, like, you know, we weren't living on the same coasts even. But the funny thing was I would get messages like, you stole this from him. So I had never seen his, so I look it up. And it's great, of course.
I'm sure it's good.
It's great. But then I was like, well, when did his come out? And his came out after. So it was like such a joy.
Oh, I know.
To write back to people. So normally I was like
2004. You
I was
just
like,
put it in there.
I just was like, hey, did you ever check these release dates out? Yeah. And then one guy wrote back, oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck.
But like, of course, I never thought, like, I knew he didn't take it from me. It's like that premise for a joke could be thought of by anyone.
That kind
but it's
of stuff,
just
it
like
happens.
Your execution of it. You know?
Right. How you follow through. He did something in the story.
And his,
one
by
night.
The way, is so much more refined and thoughtful.
It's articulate.
And mine's more crude
right.
and stupid.
His is like a French bistro.
Yeah.
And you're like a mess hall. You're like a...
There's food on the floor.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I... He did a joke one time that or was working it out, and I think he ended up putting it on something, but he was at the store, and it made me so fucking mad because I literally had written that thing down a week before. I'm not kidding. We watch Family Feud religiously at my house. We love it. It's my favorite thing to keep on because Steve Harvey is the funniest backhanded compliment, passive aggressive host. Like so mean, like so quietly mean. Like one time a woman goes, the question was, or the category was, favorite country to vacation to. And the woman goes, we're going to go with Africa, Steve. And he looks at he like slow pans to the camera. and he just stares for, I mean, no shit, like 20 yeah. seconds of TV time. Yeah. And they let it sit, and he goes, your favorite country to vacation to is Africa? And even they're like starting to sink in.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, don't show me Africa. And it's like, nah. And he just turns back to the camera. And it's like so mean. For a TV host to be mean
to their, yeah.
To the guests.
People who are thrilled to be there.
Yeah, they're so excited.
And they're trying so
I
hard.
Love this dude. So I said, one night we're watching it, and he's like berating these people. And I go, it's like, why does Family Feud always have a war between a black family and a white family?
Yeah.
It's like this weird race where it can't be two black families, can't be two white families. It's always black and white. Yeah. So I wrote down something along those lines of like, if you want to know the status of race relations in America, just watch Family Feud because it's black versus white and feel how different their answers are yeah. of where they're going. And I see him at the store and he says something to the effect.
John does?
Yeah. And he says something to the effect of, a week or so later, he's in town and he goes, nothing in life is black and white. Nothing, of course, unless you are contestants on The Family Feud. And he goes into this whole bit, and I was like, fuck me. Yeah. I don't know if he ever ended up doing it on something.
Well, his like, I saw him at Melrose another time doing like stuff that it was clearly in its infancy.
Right.
And it was better than everybody's set.
Everyone's like well-formed.
Yeah, yeah.
Two-year bit.
Like,
yeah.
Every time I was like, it was either such an interesting thought, such yeah. a funny take, such an original spin. I was like, and then I walked out of there and I was like, dude, that was great. And I go, I loved, and I couldn't, like, cite it. I was like, it was all good.
It's all good. Every piece of it was very, yeah. You're very talented.
Yeah.
I want to dive back into this real fast, honestly, because now I'm interested. Are you an old school, like, underground hip-hop fan when you were in, did you, like, backpack hip-hop? Or no, that wasn't your shit?
I mean, like, you know, some underground stuff. Like, the thing, you know, I'm 41. So when I was 8 and 9 and first buying, like, tapes and stuff.
Yeah, same.
There was a rap section in music stores. Mm-hmm. There was 10 groups.
Yeah.
So I just owned all of them.
Yeah, you know? That was your shit.
Like, I had Public Enemy, EPMD, Eric B. and Rakim, yep. Queen Latifah, yep. Big Daddy Kane, the Fat Boys, yep. Run DMC. Yep. Like, yep. That's how I started.
Right.
And then it just kind of expanded from there, you know? So
right. But did you ever get into, like, in the late 90s, well, I should say maybe the mid to late 90s is when, like, backpack rap kind of took off, quote-unquote, backpack hip-hop, like... A lot of, especially growing up in Chicago, for me, it was like the Midwest rap scene of guys like Atmosphere and the Rhymesayers guy and Rhymesayers crew and Brother Ali and Mediogre and Aesop Rock prior to Aesop Rocky, which is mm-hmm. so funny that Aesop Rocky became this super
huge,
famous
yeah.
name. When I was a kid, Aesop Rock was an underground hip hop artist who I was obsessed. I was obsessed with. Who painted pictures verbally similar to the way that like Ghostface does, like in this very like weird, thematically off, but like I still know exactly
vivid
what he's talking about. Yeah, it's really
yeah.
strange. It's beautiful yeah. the way he did it. But all those guys I really got into heavily. I mean, I've talked about it before, but I spent every last dime at this old record store at ASU's campus called Hoodlums. Every dime I made from work, I would go buy shit from Hoodlums, music of any kind, until the guys finally respected me. You know when you go to like earn a respect of something like that, and the guys are like, he's in here all the time, he knows kind of what he's talking about,
yeah, yeah,
we'll be
yeah.
cool to him. Yeah. And then they would finally give me early drops, or they would tell me about guys like Mr. Liff, or all this stuff. And then I got obsessive. I got to a point when it was like, honestly, for a poor kid, like I had no money when I was in school, it was a bad habit. I was spending like $500 a week on
what
music or going to shows. Or, oh, dude, it was obsessive. It
wow.
was it was almost unfortunate how much money I was spending on. If I was talking to a girl, I'd be like, you got to come to a show with me. You know, like we'd have to go to a show. Because
mm-hmm.
if she didn't like hip hop, I was like, this girl's fucking trash. Like yeah. I immediately was like, you don't like hip hop? You don't know music.
Yeah.
It like overtook my life. So I just didn't know if you had any of those like, underground hip hop guys that you really got sunk into. And a lot of those guys, by the way, are still around.
Yeah, some of them. I mean, dude, I made a thing as a joke when I tried to fuck with Bert.
Mm.
Well, I fuck with him all the time, but
He's your handicap friend?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that
guy. Thing with I help him out, put him on a show.
Like his whole career?
No, like he has special, you know.
Needs.
Right?
Right.
And so he's like, you know, will you work with me? So it's like a volunteer thing. I bring him in. I do a podcast, but like it's basically like helping him, you know?
Yeah. No. I've seen, and a lot of people on the internet often say, there's a quote, I don't know if you've seen it, I've interviewed read comments, but it's always said, they call it cool charity. I didn't know what that was. And it's, I guess there's a thing called cool charity. It's a charity called cool charity. And it's money to keep funding you helping Bert because they're afraid at some point you'll get over it and get sick of it.
But yeah.
I think that's
very cool. You probably feel a certain way about Bobby.
Yeah, no. Bobby to me is... Bobby isn't my Bert to you, though, because to you and Bert, like you, there's love in your heart for him.
Absolutely.
And with Bobby, it's more like... I literally hate him as a human and as a comedian, and I'm doing it because it's a debt that I owe, and I have $185,000 outstanding debt at Caesars in Vegas, and I just got to recoup some of that money back. So this is a thing I just need to do. Also, the state gives me $45 a month to watch over him. I have to check on him twice a day.
But that's like gas money, right?
Yeah, but honestly, it's just troubling because when you have to wake him up, you have to put him to bed, you have to clean him, and cleaning him is the hardest. Do you have to clean Bert? Mm. No, so you have to clean Bob. And washing him is tough because he's squeamish, you know, he's short. Get him in the tub. Yeah, but they freak out. Yeah. He hates water.
He's tubby.
Yes, and when he gets in there, he panics, and he doesn't like shampoo time, and when we dry him off, it's tough. So it's a challenge, but, you know, I'm willing to do it.
Yeah.
I'm willing to do it because I'm a nice guy and I do care about, you know,
not him but like maybe other people.
Other people, yeah, around him or repaying my debts in any semblance, you know.
I like that.
Are you done having kids?
Yeah.
This is it forever? Did you get?
I'm going to.
You are?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Are you not scared of that?
In like a month, I had my appointment yesterday for the consult. Guess what?
Huh?
I have a hernia.
You're so horny. You have a hernia.
Yep.
When you're a hornball, you just get horny hernias? Hernias? Yeah,
they go, it's a hernia. And I go, what's that? They're like, it's a hernia from being horny.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
So you're such like a sexual dynamo.
Yeah.
That your body just pushes out stress and it turns into a hernia.
They're going to fix my hernia and give me a vasectomy at the same time.
What'd you get the hernia from?
So I'm on like 9 weeks. I just jumped into a powerlifting.
Why are you doing that?
Because I was just fucking, I wanted something like, different. And
we crossed the threshold of when that's not okay anymore.
I mean, I know, I just was like bored and I'm doing,
I think
like,
35 is the number when you're like, I can't be doing power.
I think that I fucking did it in the last 9 weeks because I'm in week 9 of this program. Right. And I went from doing like functional fitness with a trainer to deadlifting 3 days a week, squatting, doing overhead
press.
Are
you enjoying it?
Yeah, I like it.
You do?
I like it. And the sad thing is that like, I've made, in 9 weeks, I've made pretty crazy progress.
Yeah.
And I will lose all of it when I do the surgery. And also yesterday, after I got my, like, they were like, you have a hernia. I was like, I told the doctor.
You never felt anything?
I didn't feel it. Wow. He was like, it's small. But he's like, it's going to get worse. Like, you have to fix it. I'm like, well, I tell him, obviously, I'm doing this program.
Yeah.
Can I keep lifting? He was like, yeah. He's like, you can keep lifting. And I go,
with the hernia?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, but wouldn't it get worse? He's like, yeah. And I go, so should I keep lifting? He's like, I don't know.
I'm a doctor, dude. I'm not your friend.
Yeah. Okay. I go, well, but I mean, I go, I'm not, you know, I'm not saying I'm not a strongman category, but I'm lifting heavy weight.
Yeah.
I'm doing reps with 300 pounds on dead. Like, I'm doing reps with it.
That's heavy as fuck.
It's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
But I go, and I go, and I'm saying it feels heavy to me. It's not about like,
sure. What,
like to me, yeah.
Some
I could
guy
feel
at home
that
is like, bullshit, yeah, dude.
Of course. So I'm like, the strain is, I go, it's full body strain. Like, I can feel my body being like, holy shit, every time I complete a set of this.
Right.
And I go, and now it's going to be in my head that my organs are popping through a cavity. He's like, yeah, just going to have to see what happens. I'm like,
dude, like, I love, by the way, this is literally, a few days ago, I went in to go to the orthopedist to go see about my leg. I've torn ligaments in this leg playing basketball, and I re-injured it. I have the tendon has spiraled, so now it's bruised. So for 2 weeks, I was living on it. 36. Go ahead.
No. Just I'm just saying, like,
I know
it'll be like
it's gonna be worse. It's gonna get worse.
That's how it all happens.
I know, dude. And so I go in, but I love the nonchalantness now of doctors, and I think it's because of what's going on in the world that they kind of don't give a fuck as much as they used to about like that. Like he was like, dude, lift if you want to lift. What do you want me to fucking say? That they're done being the guy that goes, you know. Remember when the phrase used to come out when they would go, they said I'd never walk again. I think doctors are done calling their shot. They don't want to Babe Ruth something anymore because they don't want to be embarrassed. And I walked again, Dr. Ziering. So what? Like, dude, they don't want to be that anymore because this doctor, she goes, we need to take x-rays. So she takes x-rays and I said, well, I didn't break it before. I tore the ligament so bad that they thought it was broken because of the bruising was insane. And she takes x-rays. She's like, yeah, you didn't break anything and there's no irregular tendon placement. So you didn't really tear much, but it's just the twist and the bruising, right? So then I said, well, I'm in this golf tournament and I like really want to play. Like, are you going to tell me I'm not so shy to play? And she goes, oh no, when is it? And I was like, it's tomorrow. It was literally the following day.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
You can play. Just, are you going to wrap it? She was like, are you going to wrap it? I'm like, should I? She goes, yeah. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, are you? She's like leaving it up to me. And she goes, yeah, I mean, look, you can.
Do you play golf a lot?
Yeah, a lot.
A lot?
A lot, dude. A lot. I know, I've talked about it on here. I'm joining a
club.
I know, I'm a little embarrassed.
A nice one?
Yeah, it's a nice one.
Yeah.
I'm a little embarrassed about it because I never came from country club lifestyle. Like,
you love golf, though.
I love it so fucking much.
Here's the thing. If you get me out there, I would become the junkie.
Yeah, see? Yes.
I played golf when I was end of high school, going into college. My parents at the time lived on a golf course.
Oh, you grew up on a golf course?
Well, no. They moved there as I was going to college.
You grew up on a Frisbee golf course when you were younger.
That's right.
Right.
And then I went to visit them and I had the summer free. I was working, but had a lot of time. And then they live on the course so I can just walk
on.
And I started to play. And here's what I got to. I got to the point where I could join you for a round of golf and not feel humiliated.
Oh, dude, let's go.
You know, well, no, that's then.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Right.
Then I played a little more. Then it was one of those things where, like, the next time I played golf was like a year later, and I would just slice everything. And,
yeah, when you take time off, it's
it really
it's,
falls
it,
apart.
It fucks up. Well, dude, and it's funny. As I've gotten older, I've had people go, "Oh, I didn't even know you played golf." Like some people that know me well are like, "I don't know," because I go by myself a lot, or I go with comics I know that golf.
Who golfs?
A lot of us. I mean, first of all, Scovel, to bring him up again, Rory, Jay Larson, Chris Porter, Brad Williams, Jimmy Schubert. I play with KP Anderson. Do you know KP?
Yeah, I know KP. Yeah.
My God, dude. It's an endless list of guys.
Who's good?
Who's really good? Court McCown is the best.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
Because he was a cat. He catted for Jasper Parnovic, who was a pro. Court, by far, is the best.
He's like legit.
He's a scratch golfer. He's fucking phenomenal.
Wow.
Yeah, he beats the shit out of everybody we play. When we play and people talk big game, then we put up money. We play money games, and it's never big because I don't feel like losing money to a guy that's that good.
Yeah,
I'll lose money to a friend that's my level.
Yeah,
but he beats the shit out of us. Like he is so good, it's like annoying. But I'm better than him at comedy, so that feels good. And then Rob Riggle is a good golfer.
He is.
Yeah, Rob's a good golfer.
Wow.
I'm trying to think of some. There's sneaky guys that are actually good that like don't really like. Golf is always this kind of like.
Bert's kind of sneaky.
Is he good?
Well, what we did is we went to Top Golf in Atlanta.
Yes.
And it was the three. It was he and me and Ari. And I thought we were going to go for like 35 minutes. Like it was one of those things where I was like, you want to have lunch? And
yeah, yeah.
Like, dude, we stay there like 6.5 hours.
Oh, dude, I've been there to Top Golf. I've spent 2-3 hours at Top Golf.
It's so fun. But, and what I'm saying is that like, you know, obviously it's not the same as playing golf, but you could tell after a while who has a nice stroke.
Yep.
And especially because those places, they have the variations in game.
Yes.
So it's like, all right, this time we're trying to do this. Everything we were trying to do, I mean, you know, he'd fucked up shots, but then like he was consistently hitting stuff.
He's a sneaky athlete. He's like,
But then did you see his post the other day?
Where he raced that dude?
He raced the bus driver.
I know, I saw that.
And I was like, he called me before he posted it. He's like, I lost in a foot race to run. I go, you lost the fucking run?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. I go, how? And then he shows them, it's like they both have their like drinking bellies and like
it's by the way.
But also he runs upright,
up straight up. Yeah, I noticed that. Like, His neck is at the sky. I was like, dude, bend down and go forward. That Ron did beat him. It was very close.
It was though. Very close.
It was very close.
But it felt so good that Ron won.
I know. Dude, when I started watching the video, that's so funny. I started watching it and I was like, I don't want him to win this.
And of course, because he was like,
I wanted him to lose. So
I
bad.
Love that he left in the stuff before. He's like, I'm going to kill him. Like, of course.
Yeah, no. And then he's like, well, I already ran today, which is the first thing when somebody's like, whenever that dude competition thing happens between men, yep. Whenever we do that thing where they're like, you can't hit that shot. And it's like, okay, well, I worked out earlier, so yeah. I'm tired. Like, yeah. You know, the excuses flow. He is, Bert's a sneaky athlete the way that I used to feel about Paul Pierce. Like, Paul Pierce has that body where you're like, this guy's, he looks like a dude I know. Like, yeah, he's yeah. just bigger and kind of slovenly,
yeah.
but he's unbelievably athletic. Bert would not surprise me on the golf course. I bet you he's very good. There's guys that I play with,
yeah.
I'm not going to mention names, that have dog shit, dumpy, awful bodies. I mean, dude, completely out of shape, and yeah. actually, unathletic as fuck. They couldn't throw a baseball. They couldn't throw a football. But out there, they're phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's something about
he can dial it in for golf. Like golf, like he talks a lot of shit for everything, and you're like, you can't do any of these mm-hmm. things. But in golf, if you were to be like, this matters, you need to play well.
He'll
today,
turn on.
He would be able to. Yeah, play good.
He's got that thing. He has that like. He's got that forever focus where you're like, well, I'll just commit everything I have to something.
One of my favorite stories is when I was getting to know him, we went to Hawaii. This is like 2008. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really, you know, we're hanging out there doing this show together. And I was like, oh, did you play, I can't even say. I go, did you play football in high school? And he was like, I was supposed to be like the next great player there, but I got injured. I was like, who, what? What
do you mean? I was supposed to be.
What do you mean? He was like, no, I was like. He's like, I was really good at baseball, and I was like, uh-huh. And then, like, I was supposed to be, like, they were expecting me to be, like, the next, like, all-state player. And I was like, why would they expect that of me?
Yeah.
He's like, because I was just, like, so good at other things. But then, like, I hurt my shoulder, and I was like, this guy.
That's why they thought you were going to be the next great thing? Just because like, you were good at stuff?
Yes. Expectations that you'll be an amazing athlete.
You see this guy in layup drills in gym class.
You know he'll be
you
good.
You know he's going to be an all-state football, but there's no doubt about it. Did you go to school with pro athletes ever?
I played against one. I had him on my. I had Heath Evans on my podcast.
Oh, you went to high school with him?
I went to high school, a rival high school.
Okay.
And you know what was amazing? I was thinking about this yesterday. I still can't because it would amaze me watching The Last Dance, you know, with Jordan. I was like, how does he remember? Like, he was like, then... 1985, the third game of the season, I went for this layup. I'm like, you remember that? You played like 3,000 games. And like, so with Heath, you know, my football career ends as a senior in high school. So I go, well, my memories of those will be more clear to me.
Yeah.
He went to Auburn and then he played 10 seasons in the NFL. And I had him on. I was like, I don't know if you remember, but our sophomore year, he's like, yeah, we beat you guys or you guys beat us, but I had 156 yards. I was like, wait a minute, what? Yeah. Like, redialed that shit in, dude. He remembered it exactly.
That to me, this is a great point. Dude, that is the definitive difference that I've noticed between people that are pro athletes
yeah.
and just guys that played up to a certain level. Because I know guys that played sports in college. They don't remember much. They remember a good amount.
Yeah.
But pros, for some reason, they'll name you the fucking second game of high school. They'll go, yeah, I made varsity when I was a freshman, and I dropped 6, and I got benched because I was close to fouling out. And you're like, How do you remember?
Dude, he remembered, like, so he went to a garbage football team in high school. He went to a place called King's Academy in Palm Beach, Florida.
Trash.
And, well, they were just a horrible football team.
Right.
But they had him.
Right, right.
But, like, so we beat them every year.
Yeah.
But he, like, we all knew his name in high school. You know what it is when you know an opposing player's name?
I remember,
name,
dude. Yes.
And you're like, there's Heath.
Right.
Like, in high school. And he was like, I told him, I was like, you know, I remember that hitting him, because like his line was terrible. He was a running back.
Yeah.
Hitting him in the backfield felt like somebody had a vault door and they just threw it in your face. You're like, oh my God. Like, it didn't feel like hitting anybody else that I ever hit. And I was like, dude, I remember the feeling of hitting you, that it was like, Jesus, like that guy is a fucking
some
animal.
People are made. I think like, whether or not you believe, whatever you believe in, God and the universe, blah, 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 like, you just know if you've ever faced a pro athlete at any point in your sporting career, you just can tell that they're made different.
They're made different.
They're just, they're like, we're different than you. And you know right away, you're like, oh, their resiliency, the strength. Like, there's little things where you go, holy shit, this is supposed to happen.
Yeah.
This isn't, I worked really hard. I mean, they do, but it's also like, thing that happened, and I just happened to be. My high school had, I mean, in the 4 years I was there, I think we had like 8 pro athletes.
Really?
And 1 Olympian. Yeah.
What, in Chicago?
Western suburbs of Chicago, yeah. I went to high school in the western suburbs. It was crazy. My schools were huge. It were like 4,200 people apiece. Big school, yeah. And they were sister schools, so they both had the same size class. But it was like two brothers that both played in the NFL. Well, there's 4 NFL players, but 2 of them that were brothers, which was insane. And then in the sister school, Candace Parker, who's like one of the best WNBA players of all time.
All time.
Yeah, and she dunked in high school. I remember when people used to joke about...
Well, it was. I remember footage of her dunking was on ESPN.
It was. Yeah. Dude, when she dunked in high school, it wasn't even a surprise because people knew about it.
Yeah.
So when it got national news that she was this phenom, people were like, yeah, we know. Her brother... Anthony Parker was a pro NBA player, but no one talked about her because it was like, oh, it's his sister Candace. And then by the time she fucking sprouted in high school, not only did people know she was going to be a pro athlete, they were like, watch what she does. Dude, she used to beat the shit out of the boys team. Beat the shit out of the boys team. And they had good ball players too. She was just like a
built
new level.
Different.
You watch it for the first time, you go, holy fuck.
I remember before we transferred, I moved to Florida from Milwaukee, and I went to a big public high school in Milwaukee.
Where in Milwaukee did you live?
In Mequon.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you ever lived in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That's why I like you and I hate you.
Yeah.
And I can know, that's now why you know now. Why. Florida, I like you, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, I know why I hate you.
Yep.
Mequon,
man. I went to Homestead High School there.
You did? Yeah. How long were you there for?
Well, I went there for 7th grade, 8th grade, and then the first semester of 9th grade. And so when I remember that when I left middle school, by the way, I'm so annoyed at these fucking, they're like, class of 2020, and it goes middle school, and you're like, you really going to post that?
Not a real thing.
My kid finished 8th grade.
Not a real thing.
So anyway, we transferred to, or you moved from middle school to the high school. High school, at the time, middle school was pretty big. It was like between 2,500 and 3,000 kids, right? It's pretty big.
That's big, yeah.
It's a pretty big high school.
Yeah.
And, you know, you start, like, I was playing a lot of basketball. And I was like a lean, pretty tall 8th grader.
Yeah.
Playing basketball, pickup games every day, front yard every day. And I remember one day we went to the gym at Homestead, and there was a pickup game going on. And this guy, there was 2 guys. One guy named Afuma Obichua, who...
Afuma Obichua.
Yeah. 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 And
I know how
he
good
had
he is.
Fucked off with athletics. He had a big gut. And like...
Gave up.
He kind of gave up, but he was playing this game shirtless with his gut like bouncing. And he did a 360 dunk.
Fuck off.
And we were like, oh my God. And then another kid whose name I don't remember, he went on a fast break. And I found out he was a junior in high school. And on the fast break, he cupped the ball here and did a full...
Yeah, like a Jordan.
That. And then we were like, oh my... And we were like, is this what high school's like?
Yeah.
Because like, this will be demoralizing.
It is though. And that's when you start going, when you go, fucking tennis is cool.
Yeah.
That's when like golf for me...
Yeah, you're like...
High school is when I really fell in love with golf. Because I was like, I don't think I can play basketball much longer.
See, for me, like... The basketball thing is more demoralizing. Like in football, you know, yeah, if like we had I had the 100 meter track champion on my team. So like, you're just like, you see him, you're like, yeah, I'm never going to catch him.
Yeah.
But he's also on my team.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's
great.
Just, and you just watch him and you're like, holy shit, he's so fast.
So fast.
But then like with power, like with Heath and like, there's other, like, oh, I played against some All-American linemen. I don't know. You just kind of go like, yeah, I got owned this play, but the next play maybe you get one on them or
sure.
something. And there's something for some reason in basketball, if you're playing with people who are like way on another level,
it's embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. Ugh. It is so demoralizing to have somebody just like shove you and then dunk and then their dick's in your face. And you're like, fuck
it, dude. Baron Davis and I did a show together. We became buddies, and I went and played with them one time just for fun.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
It's not fun.
It's not fucking fun. even if you're like, I'll just stand at the key, I'll just jack up a three when somebody gives me the ball because they feel bad because, you know, Orange Whitey is open.
Yeah.
And even then, it's not fun because you miss by a mile and they make fun of you.
Yep.
And then the opposing team makes fun of you and then your team goes, why the fuck are you shooting that shit?
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I'll go sit down.
Yeah.
I just don't want to, it's like, you realize how much better you need to be to continue to play those kind of sports in life. So bring it back around. That's why I love golf.
Golf's great.
I don't
man.
Need to fucking do things. I just can be good at my little thing.
You know, it's a gentleman's sport.
Yeah.
And like, even if you love it for the, because I know it's addictive. Like, I haven't played in a long time now. It's addictive and you're outside and beautiful, but you can meet like so many incredible people in
dude,
that
Dude, that's my favorite part. By the way, that's the thing about clubs, which is kind of nice, is like a lot of old athletes that live in LA, they join clubs.
Yeah.
So you get to meet guys and, you know, I'm at no liberty to say, but like when you're like, oh shit, he played. It's just a cool thing to see old athletes, because this is another thing that no one knows about old athletes. I don't care what color you are. If you played pro sports, when you're done, you play golf.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. Like it used to be this white sport. Like, not anymore, dude.
A lot of these cool old Hollywood dudes play golf.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, they all do. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Pesci.
Pesci, Stallone plays.
Pesci plays a lot. So I was just like, it was like, what a cool, interesting world to like. It makes you level at some degree of like, yeah, you're here because of your acumen of our business, but when we go play golf, if I can beat you there, it's incredible. Like that shit feels fucking awesome.
Of course.
You're like, oh dude, I'm better than you at this little thing.
At this thing.
You're better than me at all the other stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I got into it years and years ago, and I've kind of, you know, I've always played it, but now I'm getting more into it because.
Are you playing more in quarantine?
Like way in, more.
Yeah. Way you've gotten more. Better.
I have, but also, it's been tough because LA opened way after a lot of other, like Ventura County, all these other, they opened up and then LA was like,
can you show
yet.
Up and play alone where you play or no? Or you have to get into a...
I'm not a member yet, so I just can't go.
Yeah.
But at a public course, I play alone all the time.
And that's not a big deal?
Nope. My wife makes fun of me.
I like it. I used to play that.
I love it. I just will go out, you know, if it's early enough, if I want to knock it out in the morning, I'll go out. They may pair me up with one guy.
I played with, when I played that summer, God damn it, this famous author.
Who was it?
Dude, I could look it up.
Ray Kurzweil.
There you go.
Stephen King. This is how many books I've read.
Wait,
like
I'm
going to
text right now.
Yeah.
See if I can get an answer while we're doing
this. Yeah, that's good.
Okay, hold on.
In here, we pour whiskey.
Gentlemen, listen up. I know you want to smell good. I know you want to look good and feel good. There's a brand new company that's offering a solution to all of your problems in this area. They're called Hawthorne. Hawthorne is incredible stuff. You get online, you take a 2-minute quiz. It takes no time at all to run through it. Easy answers. You tell them what cologne you're used to wearing, what deodorant you use, body wash, shampoo, and they create a package that's right for you. I tried it. I was skeptic, I'm not going to lie. And I was like, whatever, send me this stuff. Let's see how it is. It's fantastic. They know all the colognes and all the past stuff that you've used, and they kind of use that and run it through analytics to find out which scents are going to work best for you. So if you're still wearing Cool Water cologne from high school, come on, step it up, or Dracar Noir. Change up your game. Go to Hawthorne and let them outfit you with some new smells, shampoo and body wash, which I very much so enjoy. The lady likes it too. A little spritz here on your undercarriage. Stinks good for the late night session, my friend. Go check out their stuff. You really will enjoy it. Take an easy quiz, and then it's totally risk-free for free shipping and free returns. What else do you have to lose? Guys, don't smell like crap anymore. Go to Hawthorne.com. That's Hawthorne with an E. And use the promo code WHISKEY to get 10% off your first purchase. That's Hawthorne, Hawthorne.com. And use the promo code WHISKEY. Get 10% off and smell better. Back to the episode.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Wait, let me transition to something else. I used to talk about this on the show all the time, and now I don't anymore. Do you remember your first time that you got drunk? Because I know you have a relative memory of that.
Yeah.
Of when you first got fucked up.
Yeah.
What is it? Can you tell me?
Yeah.
While you text? And Tom is texting his agent right now, and I can see it reflecting off of his eyes, and it says, get me out of her, and he spelled here wrong. What an idiot. He spelled it H-E-A-R. What an idiot!
Oh, I hope nobody calls in a moment. Makes me leave. first time I got drunk. The first time I got absolutely shit-faced, I was 14. I mean, like, really fucked up.
14?
Yeah.
We do an age. We used to do an age scale thing on the show of, like, who got yeah. drunk the youngest. And I think 14 might be it, because I'm 14, just about to turn 15. It was my almost 15th birthday. You're 14? That's young.
Yeah, I was pretty young, and I was in Cusco, Peru.
Cusco, Peru.
Yeah, and I was with my cousin, my American cousin Brian, and my Peruvian cousin Juan Luis.
Wait a minute, Juan Luis wasn't the American cousin?
No, he's the Peruvian.
He was?
Yeah.
That'd be so great. You'd be like my American cousin.
My American cousin Juan Luis and this Indian guy, Brian. So I got absolutely, I mean, they probably should have put me in the hospital.
Have you tasted booze before that?
I tasted booze, okay. And I had a couple drinks before, but I'd never gone
full bore.
Full bore. And yeah. I was having pisco, which is like a,
I don't know what that is.
It's kind of like the national liquor.
Pisco.
Pisco, P-I-S-C-O.
Yeah. Is it a clear liquor or a dark
clear,
liquor?
Clear. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's like, I guess it's considered a rice liquor. You know how they make liquors of different.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I'm trying to just.
Well, you know, like rice wines or like soju.
Okay, sorry. Colorless or yellowish to amber colored brandy produced in winemaking regions of Peru and Chile, made by distilling fermented grape juice.
Yeah.
Sorry. So I'm just letting you know what it is, but it's.
No, but I like that. I'd like to know.
I used to. So I had sampled. They have a drink. It's a very famous drink called Pisco Sour.
Pisco Sour.
Yeah, and it's like the national.
And everybody has it.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's a staple of the.
Does it taste good?
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, it does?
Okay. Oh, it's delicious. So we start drinking them. And my older cousin who lives down there is probably, man, like at least 10 years older than me. So he's probably like 25, 26 at the time. He's got a chaperone, making sure we're all like,
we're
big boys, but he's, you know,
yeah,
he's the adult. I don't remember so much when things turned, but I remember that. I just stopped speaking English.
You speak Spanish?
Only Spanish. And my American cousin was like, you were berating me for my poor Spanish, but you did it in Spanish. And then I had a jacket on. It gets cold. It's up in the mountains there.
Sure.
And I lost it at a bar, and then I just cried about my jacket. And they had to, like, care. I mean, I threw up on the streets. And they had to carry me back to the hotel, and I was bawling about my jacket.
Yeah, you missed that fucking jacket.
I missed that jacket, and then I would just turn to my cousin, and I was like, you only speak English. Like, just like
being, by the way,
belligerent.
I bet you woke up the next morning, and you felt fine.
Yeah.
Those days are so fucking far gone.
They're gone.
I miss them. Like, I miss the idea of just...
Those two sips will fuck me up for a week.
Really?
No.
But I, no, like, but seriously, some people are like, I have one drink and I'm not feeling well.
If I have booze, mm-hmm. like I can have a couple beers, fine. More than three, it's like a problem.
Yeah, I don't have beers anymore because of that.
Wine is like the only thing I feel like I don't really think about it afterwards.
Yeah.
But if I have like two bourbons, it's not that I'm fucked up. It's that the next day I'm like, oh man, like I don't feel great.
Yeah,
your energy's bad. Yeah, I don't feel good.
There's something about it that like but because wine is typically accompanied with meal, right?
Yeah.
So you're gonna have food with it. Where bourbons, I've sat at home on a stomach where I haven't eaten my dinner and just had a couple of sips, and then the old bag is like, let's go do something, and then we go do something somewhere, and then it turns into like I've had a night of bourbon. And the next day is ruined. I never used to be that guy where it was like, it ruined the day. Now, if I have too many, I officially ruin a day, which didn't exist back in the day. I was
It ruins the day.
Yeah, it ruins the day. The day is beat.
I hate that. Sucks.
Yeah, no, I can't do it anymore. It's just a bummer.
I don't know, like the body. Because, we were talking about, you know, things start like right before I started that powerlifting plan.
Yeah.
I was getting Zoom trained at home.
Yeah.
And the guy was having me do a interval thing where it was like 40.
Interval training is great.
Yeah. But so one of the like sequences was, it was a barbell with light weight on it,
mm-hmm.
but you were supposed to like clean and just press it overhead.
Right.
But like rapid fire.
Like go, go, go,
go, go, go, go, go for right. 40 seconds. Yeah. He's like, keep going, keep going, keep going. I remember that I had one of them up and I think I got lazy with it. I just kind of dropped my shoulder, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, that feels like, it has not felt the same since. It's been a few months now.
Uptight up here.
It's somewhere in my shoulder.
Oh, your shoulder.
And like, there's certain positions where I can feel it in,
right,
like clicking, and I'm like, something's wrong. So I told my doctor, I was like, I don't know what it is, and I've continued to work out, but there's it's definitely something's wrong with my left shoulder.
Right.
And he was like, just go to this guy, I'll give you a shot. And I was like, but are we going to find out what's wrong with it? And
just
he's like, just get the shot.
Shut the fuck up and go get the shot.
And I go, so should I keep working out? And of course, he's like, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, dude, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, work out. I don't fucking care.
I don't care.
Get the shot.
I don't care what you eat.
Yeah.
Just get the shot and shut up.
Have you ever had that where a doctor says something that you know is bad advice? But like, we had a friend who's a doctor who goes, somebody ordered a turkey burger. We were out to lunch. I'll never forget. And he goes, oh, turkey burger. He's a doctor.
Yeah.
And he goes, turkey burger. And the guy that we're with is like, is a bachelor party. And he goes, yeah, man, I don't fucking feel like red meat today. And he was like annoyed that he, you know, because
yeah, I called him out.
Yeah. Or... And he was like, ugh, dude, just get the burger. Like, what's the, do you like the taste more of a turkey burger? And he goes, no, dude, I'm just trying to be a little bit more health conscious. He goes, as a doctor, not your doctor, but as a doctor, I'm telling you, the difference is minimal. Over the course of time, over the course of life, caloric, like fat content, he's like describing all this stuff. And he's like, it just doesn't matter. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Like, it just kind of had this, like, it was just a check down. He's like, cause you're going to have fries and we're going to have 40 beers.
Yeah.
So the fucking 19 grams of fat you save,
yeah,
will make up for somewhere else. Just eat the fucking burger.
See, I'm your friend.
Yeah.
And my wife is that doctor.
Yeah, that's just like,
that's my life. My life is like, I made a good decision today. She's like, I know croissants make you happy.
Just eat a I know, but yeah. And she's right, by the way.
I know. That's the thing is that like, I'll go, like today I boxed this morning. And
what time? Do you box early?
10.
I can't work out before 9.
I don't like it, but I can't I wouldn't do the lifting thing then. I can do it's because it's more like a
cardio workout. Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
That to me, I don't like to do it. I don't like that 8 a.m. shit.
Fuck
but
that.
I can do,
that's insane.
I can do 10, 11. But anyways, I do it and, you know, whatever. I probably burn like 600 calories or something.
Yeah. A lot.
It's, you know, you're just pouring sweat and then I come inside and then my wife's like, you want to try these cookies? And I'm like, you see me soaking wet. She's like, and she's always like, what is it going to kill you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know, but like, can't you just imply?
No, she's right.
Yeah.
She's right. Like my dad just did this to me. My old man goes, this is my favorite. This is how my dad thinks now. Now that my dad's been retired, this is like everything to my dad. He'll find something that dads do this in general. They find something that proves what they already wanted to believe.
Yeah.
Like he goes, I read this article in Golf Digest. You know, Tiger, after all this working out and all these injuries, he says that he almost wishes he never worked out because now he's in so much pain. It's like, did it really help? Who knows? Yeah. I'm like, Dad, that's insane rhetoric. Like, first of all, what he's saying is he wish he didn't work out that hard,
as he did.
Yeah. And my dad's like, I don't know. Sounds like he wish he never worked out.
Because
my dad's trying to mail in the workout. And my mom is like, no, because now that he's retired, he won't do, he's doing a lot less. I mean, he's come back a little bit, but for a while, the moment my dad retired, he was like, fuck everybody. He was like, give me a drink. Give me a bratwurst. I'm going to watch TV. He just didn't want to do.
He's loving it.
Yeah, he was loving it, dude. Finally, he deserved it. He worked his whole fucking life, and he got fucked over. He got fired from a company he worked for 3 decades. Don't ever use Turtle Wax Car Wash. I've said that once. I'll say it again.
I've used it before.
Don't ever use it again. Use Meguiar's. Use anybody else. Use anybody. Okay. Mothers. Use anybody you want.
Okay.
Yeah, they fired they fired my dad after, like, you know.
3 decades?
Yeah. Of employment. Yeah. The company was folding. It's a family-owned company. They'll be buried by the time this podcast comes out. But no, it's just my dad's loyalty was insane to the company. And that was also why, I've said this before, why my dad was so into me doing what we do, because he was like, yeah, you're your own boss.
Yeah,
You're your own victim and you're your own victor. So like, there's no one to blame and you can take the credit, which is nice. He's like, don't ever spend your whole life working for someone who doesn't give a fuck about you, which is what...
So true.
I know, dude. It was weird to hear, because my old man he's kind of by the book guy, and he's like...
I say it all the time too, man. You know? I mean, I endorse like that aspect of what we do, like really resonates with me.
Yeah.
Like I don't like people, you know, sometimes people are like, what would you be doing? I was like, I would own my own business. I know that.
Yeah. I don't want to work. Well, if I wasn't and doing there's nothing this, wrong with working for someone else.
No, there's not.
Just remember, there's a good chance they don't give a fuck about your well-being.
Yeah.
Like when you work for some big company or corporation or whatever, you got to do whatever any American has to do. But that proved to me that, man, these companies, they'll fucking spit you out after you were like, I'm loyal to you. I'm loyal to you. I'm loyal to you. And they're like, cool, man. Thanks for the $8 billion over the course of so many years. Fuck off.
I've had, my uncle got super fucked by a company he basically built.
He built.
Yeah, like he was there, the guy that built this independent company up.
And they don't give a shit.
They don't give a shit. This is who I played golf with 20 years ago. I can't believe he's alive.
Wow.
And
can I say his name?
Sure.
This is Stuart Woods, an American novelist, by the way.
He's got a lot of books.
82
man.
Years old. He's a book god.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I know. I've seen this guy's books.
Yeah.
You recognize these Stuart Woods books because you've seen them in like airports, kiosk he's spindles.
Massive.
Yeah, dude. He's one of these guys that does.
It's like thrillers, right?
Yeah, they're like crime thriller drama books. That's exactly what they are. I've seen a million of these.
Well, I had this like
he always looks like but this by the way, this guy at home, we're going to put up a photo so you can see what he looks like. They always look like that.
They always look like that. Yeah.
Why what is that like that's is that like the pro athlete theory where you're like yeah, they're born like, for that?
Oh, he was born to write books. I remember this that I was mortified at maybe you've had this experience where when you start if you're not like a really good when you're young. I started playing golf, let's say like I'm 17 or something.
Sure.
And I was mortified to play with other people because I knew I wasn't good.
Right.
And then that summer I get to playing like where my parents live. Mm-hmm. And I got to that point where I was, you know,
getting better
and feeling a little more confident where like, I just don't want to embarrass. Like, I didn't want to be like, people would see me and they would go like, you know, they would go, this guy can fucking go. I don't know why. Like, they're like, you can rip when I
do. The way you hold yourself.
Yeah. And I was like, shit. You know, I'd just be like embarrassed.
I'm going to let you down.
So I'm playing with my dad. And
is your dad a good golfer?
He's like a lifelong golfer. He's all right. You know,
okay.
He doesn't really play anymore, but you know, he would like on a good day, he would shoot in the 80s. But on average, he'd probably shoot in like high 80s, 90s, you know, but like competent, like play, can play, can join a foursome and play.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's definitely the veteran taking me out and I'm playing with him one day and it's just the two of us. And then we come up on a hole and there's a guy sitting in a golf cart that is not the golf cart that the course gives you. It's like, it's like tricked out.
Yeah, yeah,
there's
I
like
love
a fan
those.
On it. Yeah. What the fuck? And my dad's like, he knows, he goes, that's Stuart Woods. And I go, who the fuck's Stuart Woods? He's like, he's a big time author. And I go,
the author with the tricked out golf cart.
Yeah, I was like, all right.
He's a fucking baller.
He's a baller. And I go, okay. And so my dad recognizes him and loves famous people, celebrities. So he's like, hey, I have a couple of your books.
That's your dad.
That's my dad. And Stuart Woods is like, well, you got like 12 more to go. And then he's like, you mind if we play with you? And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Dad,
and the guy's like, sure. Now I'm nervous that I'm going to embarrass myself.
In front of Stuart Woods,
in front of
American
a famous
novelist.
Author who I don't know.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, sure, you can play with me. I'm like, oh, fuck. So he goes up there to tee off. He shanks this shit so hard. And I was like, yes. And he puts another ball down, shanks that one.
Perfect.
Puts a third ball down.
Shut up.
Hooks it. I was like, what the fuck? He does like, he hits like six of them.
Like, breakfast ball, brunch ball.
Yeah. Just, and then I was like, okay. And then we, you know, whatever, get on the fairway. He just picks a spot, throws one, hits it, fucks it up, throws another one down, hits it. So I'm like, dude, he's gone through like 26 balls on this hole. And my dad's just like, well, I don't know. Yeah.
He's
a novelist. Dude, we play a few holes with him, and then we're like, I think we're going to split because he's so bad that like he's dragging us down.
Yeah, he's putting your game down?
Yeah, I was like, we're
better. Hey, Stu, we're going to walk.
We got to go.
We got to take off because you're dog shit. All right, man.
And if you think I'm full shitting, Orchid Island, I still fucking remember the course.
Orchid Island?
Yeah.
That's what course. It is. Yeah. Florida has a good place in my heart. I've talked about it before. It's where I lost my virginity.
You did?
Marco Island, Florida, baby.
Oh, West Coast.
That's right, baby. Gulf side.
How old were you?
16. 16? 16. 16.
Pretty young.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah, 16. High school girlfriend. Traded a bottle of Captain Morgan rum for the room key.
Yeah.
We knew one dude that had a hotel. And I was like, I'll give you a bottle of Captain Morgan rum, a handle, if I can have the room key for a little while. And he was like, how long do you need it for? I was like, probably all night. I get in there. It was like 26 minutes later. I'm like, all right, we're going to pack up and go back out there.
Go. We just wanted to watch a show. It was kind
of that bad. We wanted to watch one episode of Law and Order, and now we're back. Yeah, Marco Island, Florida. I spent so...
Was it a memorable experience, like in a good way or no?
Yeah, actually, because for both of us, we were virgins, so it was like we decided that was our thing.
I was the same.
It was nice that it happened that way.
Yeah.
That it was like, we're, my first time was her first time.
Yeah.
Because I hear the other way when people are like, it was a nightmare.
I hear that from women.
Women, yeah, it's always that way, yeah. But no guy's ever like, it was your 50th time.
It kind of would have been, like, how nice would it have been if your first time, though, was a chick like, you know, few years older, who was like, let me just show you what we like.
Yes.
And you're like, okay.
Actually, you know what would have been great? If I was like 20 and I waited, and like a 42-year-old divorcee was like, I'm going to pump that dick.
Suck your balls.
That would have been the best. Yeah. No, but we were both.
And then you'd be like, sex is amazing. And then all your sex would be a disappointment.
Right. Everything else would be trash.
Always.
Yeah, no, we were both. Yeah, Florida had this, we knew that's where it was like a
plan. Were we doing your vacation there?
Spring break.
Oh, spring break.
Yeah, high school spring break. Well, dude, Chicago kids, Florida is our mecca. Like, Florida is where, you know, because it's a snowbird, you know, all the Midwest people go down to Florida. And California should be where we really end up going because too many people go to Florida, but no one can afford to go out there.
But also, Florida's like,
you can drive.
I think
to
about
Florida.
This a lot. It's so much easier to navigate.
Oh, yeah.
All
dude.
That stuff.
Oh,
like, the beaches.
Yep.
The anything you're trying to get to, and like if you want to park somewhere, it's easy in Florida.
It's there.
Out here,
it's a fucking nightmare. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It's like, but as a kid, also flying to California was daunting. It was like, this is back when people didn't fly that much just to fly. You were like, you're going to drive there, so it was like we would drive to Florida. I mean, we would go down there, and I've been to Marco, Sanibel, all that. Like we would go to the islands and usually it was with somebody else's family. Because like my parents were like, I'm not going down. We're not paying anyone.
Yeah.
It's like, well, someone's good. Can I go with their family? And they're like, get the fuck out of here. Go jump in their van. And it was, the road trip was half of the fun. Like all that stuff was fucking great.
Yeah.
It was like kind of like that's what made the Florida was great, but getting there was great too, which I don't think we'll ever have again. Because I don't think road trips, unless the pandemic collapses the airline industry, road trips just aren't a thing for, like, your kids' generation won't really road trip.
No.
Unless you, for fun, are like, we'll go to the Grand Canyon, whatever. You won't. But, like, our generation, it was kind of like, that was still a fun thing to go do. Chevy Chase. What's wrong with me?
Chevy Chase.
Vacation. Yeah, the original vacation. It was like, that's what America was at that time, was like, yeah, we'll drive there. You're like, it's so far. Like,
isn't it weird
that
there's a Chevy Chase, Maryland?
Yeah, there's a Chevy Chase Boulevard here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he that?
No.
Is he that beloved?
I think that name means something.
We don't know about. I've said that before. I'm like, is that a thing? And I'm too dumb to know that there was a guy named Chevy Chase.
Should we Google it right now?
Yeah, will you Google Chevy Chase? Because honestly, there's a Chevy Chase Boulevard in, I want to say it's right next to Griffith Park. I think it's right over there. There's a Chevy Chase Avenue or Boulevard. And I was like,
dude, do you know how, like, when you Google, it also has like common questions asked about something?
Yeah, also ask, yeah.
The number one one, put in just Chevy Chase, it says, what is wrong with Chevy Chase?
What is the matter with Chevy Chase? Well, because you've heard all these stories where he's like, you know, the lore of Chevy, where he's like, doesn't want to work anymore and is kind of pissy and mad and angry. Have you heard any of this stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you heard, like, I think maybe Dan Harmon had talked about on the set of Community. He was like grumpy and mad, but also, I want to side with him for 2 seconds. A guy that I don't know. I guess after like 40 years in the business,
Yeah.
I probably would be like, all right, fuck everything. I'm doing this because just have to pay bills. And as an actor, there's no real retirement plan that doesn't exist. Like, you know what I mean? It's like.
People also forget, though, like with him, and I would say this will be like kind of generationally removing people from, like, but he was one of the biggest box office stars in the world.
Yeah, in the world.
And I thought of, it was actually before my time, but I learned this about Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, same.
They're like, you don't understand though, like had a string of like 7 years as the number
the
one.
The guy.
Yeah, and then it's like when that changes and you're just like, everyone's still, well, people like you, but you're just an actor now.
Yeah, you're a guy.
That's got to be...
It's got to be hard. Well, but also, it's kind of hard to see in a business where, like, there's people, dude, that have made, like, 9, 10, 11 box office bombs.
Yeah.
And the business is still like, we love them.
Yeah.
But you're like, but they keep eating shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you could name one... I don't think you could name one legitimate Jennifer Aniston movie where you're like, oh, dude, it's the movie's incredible.
It's an amazing movie.
No, and I'm not shitting on her. It's like she's just been in a lot of stuff where you're like, it's okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Friends, they love people her. Like, but Friends.
But Friends.
But it just helps. Like,
I just saw
helps.
A thing where Colin Farrell was, he was starring in things for a while.
Yeah.
And he said in something recent, like you could probably find it,
right,
that he's never been happier than when he was like, when he could no longer be the name above the title. He said he loves his, I mean, you know, someone can just say that, but. He's like, it's such a freeing thing to
I'm sure, because the pressure must be absurd to carry a movie.
Yeah.
Like we've known Tiffany Haddish, we've known Tiffany Haddish for years as a stand-up.
Yeah.
When she became a movie star name.
Movie star.
The pressure is absurd because they're like, well, you are this thing now. And if they don't like it, then we look at you for some reason. But you're like, what about the studio? What about the writers? What about the producer? What about?
And the way people like criticize her is crazy.
Yeah, everyone's
like, why are you so mad about it?
If you're
something?
Up there, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
I don't know the term, but we love to go as high as you can get.
Yeah,
and then when you're up there, you're like, come on down.
Come on down.
Yeah.
It's such a sick business. I wanted to educate you a little bit.
Yeah, please.
The name Chevy Chase is derived from Chevy Chase. They made the name of the land patented to Colonel Joseph Belt from Charles Calvert, 5th Baron Baltimore, on July 10th, 1725.
Holy shit.
It has historic associations to a 1388 battle between Lord Percy of England and Earl Douglas of Scotland, the subject of the ballad entitled The Ballad of Chevy Chase.
Wow.
At issue in this chevauchée, a French word describing a border raid or hunting grounds, or a chasse in the Cheviot Hills of Northumberland and Otterburn.
We have Cheviot Hills here.
We do?
Yeah, we have a Cheviot Hills here.
It's so.
So this, what is his? So is his real name not Chevy Chase?
I have. I'm reading about the name. The word. So
we
despite
got
rumor
text,
and
right?
speculation, yeah. Chevy Chase, Maryland, has no direct relation to actor and comedian Chevy Chase. Both are named after the British ballad.
He was named, so his, he just happens to come from Chase, last name Chase, and is named that as such.
Yes. His real name is Cornelius
Crane Chase.
Yeah. And it looks like Chevy Chase, Maryland, was named the most affluent town in the United States.
Most affluent town?
Yeah.
Maryland?
Chevy Chase, Maryland.
Yeah. No shit. Maryland? You've been to the Northeast, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I lived there. I lived in College Park for a while. For University of Maryland.
For school, yeah, I was just going to say.
I didn't
but
go there.
But school is always different because, you didn't go to school, you just around?
I just like college.
You like college parties.
I love college parties.
You know what's so funny about that? I partied with guys at ASU.
Yeah.
That were like 24.
You went to ASU?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, man. I know. We wiped down the chair before you sat in it.
Thank you.
I remember partying with like 22, 24-year-olds. When we were 19, 20, we first got in.
You're like, they're 58.
Yeah. I was like, these guys are 106. But I was also like, they're the coolest dudes on earth.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you do? And the guy's like, Jiffy Lube. And you're like, fucking dude, what are you, a billionaire?
Dope. Yeah.
What do you got? What do you got? Six houses already?
Never, dude.
Yeah. We had dudes that like party with us that didn't go to college, but lived in college. They lived in college. Like they would meet us on campus. They would hang out. Like they were in college, but they weren't in college.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest feeling of
I remember being in college and having
non-college
like yeah, friends. Like local.
Yeah, local.
And I went to a really small school, so like you see them, you notice them more. You know what I mean? You're like,
yeah.
You've been at these parties for a while now.
He's like, I'll never leave, dude.
Yeah.
Started at 17. I'll never fucking leave. Go away, dude. Yeah. Bryson.
Yeah.
That was a lot. There was a lot of California transplants in Arizona.
Those schools have, both of them, U of A and ASU, have just insane reputations.
Yeah, for what? For academics, you mean?
For like biology?
Yes, we are the best at bio. We're the best at chemistry.
Yep.
And ironically, also at math.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I went to school. I got my degree in hydroponic chemical engineering with a minor in heart surgery as a focus.
I'd never even heard of that.
Yeah, it's a new class. It's one class.
Heart surgery focus.
Yeah, and you don't have to go to med school because, well, at least what the professor says, med school is a lot of fodder. It's a lot of books and like.
But isn't that how you would be good at it?
I don't think so. I think you just have to talk about it as much as you can. We talked about it often, about what surgery would be like. Is it scary?
Have you done a heart surgery?
No. Oh my God. What are you nuts? No. Oh. No. We just talked about it often, but I have a degree for it. I don't think I can perform. I think it's highly illegal, but I do think the degree sets me up for a future in what could be perhaps consultation online.
Have you ever witnessed a surgery?
No. Have you?
Many.
Really?
Yeah. I had the wild idea that I wanted to be a doctor, a surgeon.
You did?
Well, this is young, though.
Yeah, sure.
So I was like a freshman in high school. And I'm like, I think I want to be a doctor. I mean, I'm a freshman.
Aren't your parents like, come on,
Tom. Yeah, of course. But I think they're like, well, this is a good sign.
It's a good sign, but also like
he's fucking dumb. He's not going to do it.
We can't get
But dumb. I was like, yes, I do. I mean, I'm very convincing, you know? And they're like, okay. So I go, I think I want to be like a surgeon, though, you know? So my dad calls his brother, who's like a well-known doctor, who sets me up.
Is your dad a doctor, by the way?
No.
Okay.
His brother. And sets me up to go to the Mayo in Jacksonville and witness surgery, like for a day.
To just be a part of it.
Like, I get there, 7 a.m., and I'm a freshman. I remember that one of the doctors goes, what school do you go to? I was kind of a big kid, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, for a freshman in high school, I was probably I don't know, 5'9", 5'10", and like 185 or something.
Full size.
Yeah. And he was like, what school do you go to? And I say my high school. And he's like, that's a university? And I go, I'm in high school. He was like, you're in high school. So I think he thought he was also taking.
Did you eat the other high school boys?
Well, he's like, he goes like, why are you, he thought he was going to take like a college kid.
Yeah, right.
And he's like, so you're here. I was like, I want to do this. And he was like, okay.
All right.
So I witnessed 13 surgeries that day.
Holy fuck.
They start me like first thing, like I'm at the hospital 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And this guy, he's like, all right. And he takes me in, like the first surgery we witness is to an 87-year-old woman who's having a cyst removed from her vagina.
Oh my God.
And I go in there and he's like, you're going to stand here. He goes, like, so I'm standing at the foot of the bed.
And you're standing in like a smock and all that shit.
Staring straight up. Yeah. I'm covered and everything. And he goes, come here. And he pulls me aside. He goes, just so you know, she's not under. So if you say something, she can hear it. And I go,
she's awake for the surgery?
Yeah, she's just like anesthetized.
Ah, right, from
below
down.
The waist. Yeah. Do they start and like, so there's this 87-year-old pussy just like wide open in front of me. I'm like, all right.
That's how you knew you were gay.
I knew it. And then he's like, they go in there and then he's like, here's the cyst. And then he's like, holy shit. Like, this is enormous. So they start bringing in other people to look at it. And then they go like, Edith. And she's like, yes. He goes, we're going to take some pictures. And she's like, okay.
We just want to post this stuff, he's man, like, on MySpace. This is wild.
Goes, we've never seen one this size, so this is going to be in a journal. but your face won't be in the photos or anything like that, okay?
She just gives like a rock on above the, yeah.
And so they start taking pictures. I'm sitting there like, oh my God. And then he pops it. And it's yeah, it's just like oozing.
Oh my God.
And we leave that and he was like, wasn't that something? And I go, yeah, it was.
Yeah, I'm going to get into stand-up comedy.
Yeah. he's like, let's go watch some more surgeries.
Fuck that. Like, I don't, that to me, I've always had a stomach for stuff that's like, that turns people, but I never understood how someone could like over and over want to open people up. I was always like, we did the frog in bio or whatever, you know, you have to open up the frog. And that made people sick. I remember kids puking in class and it never made me sick, but I was like, who would want to do this over and over?
Oh, I know.
Who would want to do it? Well, I was like, it's so weird to open shit up.
I spent that day and I was like, I don't want to do surgery.
Uh-oh, fuck that. Yeah. No way. I never get the whole idea of like, I could be okay with doing it if I have to do it, but there's people that are so comfortable that it doesn't, it's like I thought about this the other day when I was at the, when I was going to get my ankle looked at in the medical building, as I'm passing these hallways and passing like, there was an optometrist, an optiatrist, there's a, you know, every kind of doctor. And as I was in the waiting room, I thought about that. I was like, God, I wonder what it's like to make the decision of like, I guess this will be my focus because I definitely don't want to do that. And I know internally they probably talk shit to each other. They're like, what are you? It's like, I'm a podiatrist or an orthopedist. And they're like, oh, bitch.
Oh.
Like, do they shit on each other?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So like, if you're a surgeon, they're like top tier shit. And they look at the other doctors like bitches. Like, oh, is that you?
They
fucking
absolutely do.
That's so funny.
The general surgeons, I'm saying, are up there. Cardiologists, like heart surgeons.
Well, that's legit.
Neurologists.
Right.
You know, you're doing like.
Who's the lowest? Who's the one that they mock the most?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's probably chiropractors, you know. Yeah. But then, even if you're just like.
Are you going to fix his back? They mock.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're like, you're not. But I mean, I'm sure they definitely all, if you're like, you know, your general physician, they realize that you're a necessity. You're needed, but they're like, they
well,
are,
what are you really
they're
doing?
Like, you know that
they call him Wikipedia.
I'm way above you.
Yeah. Right. Like, here comes Dr. Wikipedia with his generalization.
WebMD's here, everyone. Yeah.
Are you going to guess what someone has again, Mike? Is that what you're going
to
do?
So your whole thing is that you refer your patients to us?
Wait, who? Because I saw a thing. Someone just would make fun of that. Oh, there's a show called Floor is Lava on Netflix that people are watching now. Hmm. Do you know about this bullshit?
Floor is Lava?
Yeah. It's like a gauntlet game show. Three people, they try to get through a room where the floor is literally like bubbling fucking lava and they have to jump from thing to thing to thing to get to the exit. And if they fall in, they lose
points.
And it's
real or scripted?
It's real lava. Real lava. No, it's like a game show.
It's a game show.
Yeah,
okay.
No. But during one point, they had doctors versus nurses. And the doctors were like, yeah, you know, like, no, we love our nurses. Like, they're the best. Like, they,
they're
wonderful. And the nurses were like, did they talk shit? Because we do, like, all the fucking work. Like, they just get to, like, saunter in and, like, read a fucking notebook that we, like, they were so annoyed.
I love it.
It was, like, funny that they were like, oh, what did they say they do? Because they're, like, GPs. Like, we do everything. And then one girl was like, no, seriously, like, she's, like, listing off all this shit that you could tell that there was such a, there's such like this internal clashing where they're like, don't think you're fucking, you're not better than us. It's like, well, I am better than you. And they're like, no, fuck you. Like, we do the thing. You just get to take credit for
the thing.
It's
a very classist thing, I think, especially with doctors and
nurses.
For sure. And I think, I mean, because here's the thing, like if you're, you know, a nurse has a pretty extensive education.
Of course.
Really knows.
Yeah, to get there is not just like, you don't just like sign up.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And I think that they're less dismissed. I mean, you know, there's probably jokes with doctors, but the way that like civilians are like, you're a nurse. It's like, I'm sure that they're probably like, do you know that I could save your life.
Yeah, right.
Like,
that is true.
Yeah.
They just get kind of brushed off as like, you're a part of the process.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer because it's almost like.
Yeah, they're not parking attendants. Like they're.
Well, that's how doctors treat nurses the way, from just what I've heard, you treat everyone that's ever opened for you.
Oh, I'm.
You savage. Are brutal. Yeah. You're brutal. Somebody told me one time, whoever was opening for you a couple years ago, not only did you not, they couldn't get a hotel, you forced them to, you rented a car at Hertz, you rented like a Chevy Volt, and you made them sleep in the car.
I did, and
but
I also...
You wouldn't turn it on, no
I
heat,
don't turn
no,
it on, no wow. heat, because it's about, you know, getting like, I realize I'm a coach for these you know, openers.
What were you going to say? You were going to say bitches?
Well, I was going to say...
Is that what you're going to say?
I also asked for a feature gift.
But so they have to bring you
They have
something.
To bring me a gift. And oh, so the wow. first time that I, you know, was educating one of them on it, and they were like, well, what's a feature gift? And I'm like, well, you gift the headliner mm-hmm. as a way of saying, you know, thank you for having me. Mm-hmm. And she, the opener, was like, well, how do I, how much should I spend? And I go, how much are you earning this week?
Right.
So she said, you know, $500. And I right. go, something around $500.
$500 to $600.
Yeah, should be.
They should
gift.
Be willing to take a loss to open for you.
Yeah, of course.
Financially, I have heard what you typically do is if a feature is getting a certain amount of money, let's just make an arbitrary. Let's just yeah. say like, oh, they get $700. I've heard that you dock depending on how many jokes you don't like.
Yeah,
that's true.
Oh yeah, if like I go, if you don't open strong,
right? So is it how do you dock? Is it $10? $20?
Wild. If you have a wildlife joke, you immediately lose $100.
Really? Know? So yeah. it's out.
Out.
And what's the biggest detrimental joke? What joke can they tell that you really take away the most money? What is it that's like the thing that they, just to inform listeners in case they don't know, that you really start taking away money if they do a certain kind of joke or?
Yeah, I mean, like if they do an accent or like, you know, something right. about like, oh, you know, one time I was with my mom and, you know.
Oh, family stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Then
you really cut it, then it's, then
they I'll just go right to half. Yeah.
Have you ever made sure that people that work with you don't get paid at all?
I try to, like, I'll, you know, if I do a club, I'll tell the club, I'll go, are you planning on paying them? And they'll be like, yeah. And I'll go, just give it to me.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. And then they'll go like, you'll pay them? And I go, yeah. Yeah, I'll pay them.
I mean, it's your comedic choice as a performer to do what you want, but I do think that's
weird. I like to remind them. I like to go like to when they're like, oh, I didn't get paid. I'm like, oh, did everyone come out to see you?
Is that what you say to them?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I get that, and it is your
Ask
show.
Ask any of them. They'll tell you. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can I ask you one more intimate question that's kind of along the comedy lines? There's rumors on the internet that your son mm-hmm. is a ghostwriter for some of your material.
Yeah.
You're willing to admit that on the show? You're willing to admit that today, that your son actually does write some of your stuff?
So where are you gonna join, you think, to play?
Dude. The deflection is so obvious.
I'm not deflecting. I'm saying
you're deflecting, dude.
You said you were going to join.
You're deflecting because your son writes your shit.
Now you're saying that because.
And I cannot wait for this to come out so people can hear finally that, like, people always are like, Tom's so funny. Like, I have friends that go, I love Tom. I you're friends with Tom? I said, yeah, we're cool. Yeah, I love Tom. And, oh, dude, I think Tom's so funny. He's a genius. People say that kind of bullshit that they think you're this comedic. Fucking like a phenomenal comedic entertainer, and you're so funny. And for years, I've been like, "There's no fucking way,
that he
does his own stuff."
Yeah,
and I thought that he doesn't steal jokes from peers, because I know you don't steal from comedians. But I go, he's getting it from somewhere. So
is it your son
for real?
Here's what I've heard.
Yeah,
I've heard that you can join a club socially, or you can join them to play, just play golf. But you get a better deal.
Yes.
I think if you join socially, then you don't have golf access.
Well, so to be honest,
yeah.
I'm not joining a club. That was just to bait you to find out.
You're not going to pull
you
club? Have.
I just wanted to find out if you could have some pull in some town to get me into something.
Do you feel like when you argue with someone that your heart rate goes down?
Yeah, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a psychopathic trait.
Yeah, it goes way down. Like, if we get into a debate, I calm down.
You calm down?
Yeah, because I feel like I have to, because you sink low. Everything slows down, so I can start picking out stuff.
So your heart rate doesn't race, and you don't get short of breath?
No, at any moment, I saw that big gold thing over there, and I thought I could hit him over the head with that and hurt him bad.
And that calmed you down.
It makes me feel good.
Yeah. That's a good sign.
That gives me like a solace of the moment.
Dr. Knowing. Drew was telling me about that. He was like, you know, and some people... Because we were watching a confrontation on a video clip.
Arguments?
Yeah. And I was like, he was like,
tell
you
me
know,
it was the woman calls the girl an N-word and she fights her. That one?
No, it was a different one.
God,
different
is it
one.
So that one's
it was
so
a
funny.
Neighbor. It was a neighbor who was mad at his neighbor for burning dirty. I'd never even, using dirty firewood. He's like, oh, this fucking, your fucking smoke is dark. Yep. And he was going crazy.
Using bad wood, you're burning up.
And Drew was like, you know, there are people who, when they do this, when they confront, their heart rate actually lowers. Like they go, it makes them feel good to have the confrontation.
Wow.
They get into a calm, whereas most of us would be like, the fuck? And you would feel your heart rate go up and you feel your kind of your throat dry out. Right. And you're like, you know, you can even feel like the,
anxiety.
Yeah. He's like, no, this guy, he's like, this might just be like a thing he does and he feels good after it.
There was a woman who was flying through the neighborhood. This is crazy. Because, like, if a guy was doing something and I got into a verbal altercation with a guy, at this age that you're like, I'm not fighting a guy. This is fucking insane unless he's doing something I need to, like, really defend somebody.
Yeah.
But with a guy, I'd be like, oh, fuck you. And I'd probably stay the same heart rate.
Yeah.
My heart went through the roof.
Because it was a woman.
This woman, because her confidence was staggering.
Yeah.
Dude, she was flying down the street in our neighborhood. We're walking our dog. And our neighborhood's quiet as fuck. And she's flying in this truck. And as she goes by, I do the very dad bullshit. I'm like, slow down. I do the slow down. I throw it, slow down. And her window's open. Slams on her brakes. She puts it in reverse. I'm not kidding. It puts it
now,
in reverse.
When it goes, and are you? You're,
yes. My heart was like.
Yeah.
I saw it was like this little tiny girl. And she's like, what the fuck did you say, you fucking bitch? And I was like. I said, slow down. You're flying through the neighborhood. I'm trying to keep my composure. But inside, I'm like, dude, this lady is crazy. She's going to kill me.
Yeah.
If it was a dude, I probably would have been like, oh, fuck you, bro. Get the fuck out. This woman was tight. She could barely over the wheel. Her head was like a foot over the wheel. And she's like, what's that? Yeah. Oh, am I going too fast for you, you pussy? And I swear to God, dude was emasculating the shit out of me. And I'm like, you need to calm down. I'm like, you need to slow down in the neighborhood. I couldn't. Get it out, because I couldn't believe she had the. I thought, no way is this woman gonna back up and be like, you fucking bitch. And then I go, and then I started doing this. I started saying, you need to relax. You need to relax.
Oh, that killed her.
Oh yeah, dude. She's like, oh, are you relaxed?
How old was she?
Huh?
How old was this?
Oh, maybe. I mean, 38, but with drugs, 46.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She had a tough day. She had a really tough time.
Usually, like the druggies though.
Yeah.
They'll do that shit.
Oh,
I've had the confrontation.
Oh, she's ready to fight.
Yeah. This was not drug related.
Mm-hmm.
I have a car where I just had a crazy exhaust put into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shifting manually. And so I went to shift in this neighborhood. And you could hear like the, like when I shifted. I wasn't going crazy fast.
But it does sound so nice.
But it sounds nice. And this guy walked down the street. He just goes like this.
I've been that guy, by the way.
So you know what I did? I was just kind of a psycho move. I was driving. I went like that. To
him. Yeah, I like fast cars.
And then I just kept going.
Yeah, you don't have to stop for that guy.
No,
but I do think if you're flying through, if you're going super fast, like absurdly fast on the freeway or on major roads, I'm cool with it because I like fast too.
Yeah,
neighborhoods.
No, it's not cool. Residential.
I just think you're a dick. Like
you are.
If you want to speed, go on the main road. If you want to flip your car on the freeway. Do it, dude.
Yeah.
I want to watch it. Whenever I see someone flying, I'm always like, do it. I want it. When people are cutting through lanes, my dad is always like, look at this fucking guy. You know the guy that's changing lane, changing lane?
Yeah.
My dad's like, this asshole. And I'm always like, no, I love it because I want to see. I want to watch it.
Yeah,
if I'm behind it, I want to see it. When I was a kid, I've told the story before. My dad and I watched a car, no shit. I watched a car go from the opposite side of a freeway over onto our side of the freeway with my own two eyes.
Yep.
Watched it happen. He must have either fallen asleep or avoided clipping someone and went over wasn't a medium. It was the old, there wasn't concrete mediums. It was like on the Kennedy Expressway and it was like a guardrail. They were almost like mini guardrails. You know, they were just single strips.
Flipped over there.
It cracked over and then and spun. Yeah. Watched it happen as a kid. I was like 9. I remember it so vividly and it was like on the news. It was this big thing. And the whole time I was like, we were there.
Yeah.
It was absurd. And I don't even know what ended up happening. Everybody died. But whatever the case, it's like if someone's going to be crazy on the freeway, it's like that's the spot to do it, I guess. If you're going to be absurd, have you gotten an absurd speeding ticket in one of these things? Because you like a zoom, zoom fast car guy.
I like a zoom, zoom fast. No, I haven't gotten a speeding ticket in a while. And I've never gotten pinched when I was doing... I was going
when
pretty...
When you were doing coke when you were speeding?
Well, I got pulled over... I just remembered this. I got pulled over about 6 months ago going pretty fast.
What are we talking?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what I was
over
doing.
Over 100?
The thing is, I was
in a school zone. You were going 185.
No, I was doing that thing where, you know, it was a night drive. I was coming back to LA.
Yeah.
And it was like that you'd hit pockets where you can floor it. But then, like, yeah. you see cars, you slow down. You know, it's like freeway driving after 10:30.
90 to 100.
Yeah, you're in that zone. Mm-hmm. And I saw, I got lit up. I was like, fuck. And she let me go. It was a female.
Did she know who you were?
No.
She didn't know who you were?
She didn't say anything.
Because I feel like people that let go, it's only because they know who you are. Why would cops let you go when you're speeding? She's probably a fan and didn't say it.
I got pulled over again last week. Now you remind me. I got pulled over last week in a different car. And then he let me go.
Yeah, he knew who you were. There's no fucking... You know how many people are listening? Like, fuck, you got... When people get pulled over, the cop has no reason to not give you a ticket.
Well, he goes, where are you going so fast? This is what he said last week.
How polite.
I know. I go, I'm sorry? And he goes, where are you going so fast? And I go, I didn't even realize I was going fast.
Like, you didn't.
I was like, you didn't? I go, was I? I go, I, you know, I'm, and then I go, I'm sorry. I was just, and he goes, was that your friend there? Because I was driving with someone who was in another car.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, like, I don't know. Is that guy?
There's a guy up there?
And then he goes, all right, give me, you know, I gave him everything. And
yeah,
he's like, he comes down, he writes something down, and he goes, he gives me my lies. He goes, do me a favor. And I go, yeah. He goes, slow it down for me. And I go, sure, yeah.
Tom Segura.
That was it.
He knew who you were.
I don't know.
Yes, dude. Yes, because I'm not famous like you're famous. I have like a few people that go, oh, I kind of recognize this weirdo. Aren't you from a thing that I don't like? And I go, yes. And when I get pulled over, every time I've gotten tickets. I have a felony ticket from my past for going double the speed limit. Yeah. But that's when I first started in comedy and I was doing those triple runs.
How fast were you going?
130.
In a...
Well, it was a 65 zone, I think, yeah.
Where were you?
Outside of Nevada, on the way to Winnemucca.
How fat is that ticket?
I mean, this was 12 years ago, 13 years ago, but it was a felony charge that I had to go to court for.
Holy shit.
Yeah, which was crazy, because they can if it's double the speed limit, it is a felony, right? They don't have to write it as a felony write-up ticket. It can be just a violation.
And they could choose to make it a felony. Mm-hmm. But something tells me that, like,
go ahead.
When he met you,
yeah,
yeah, he was like, I kind of want to make this a felony.
Yeah, same. Yeah, it's happened to me my whole life with cops. I've always had an adverse reaction to cops. I have cops in my family, and I respect them.
Yeah.
But the moment I get pulled over, I'm like, this isn't why I pay for you. I get so, dude. I don't say that, but I get so annoyed that I'm like, this is why. Go get a guy that's killing somebody or raping somebody. Like, why
are you
speeding?
You're that guy.
Yeah, I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
Why are you getting me? I'm going a little fast.
My older sister, I have an older sister and a younger sister. My older sister.
Your older sister is 92.
92 years old.
Wild.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
We're born so far apart. but she has been the person at fault in 13 or 14 car accidents.
What?
Yeah.
Take her license away.
I know.
That's it. What state is this in?
A few, but mostly in Wisconsin and Florida.
She's a national problem on the road.
It's unbelievable.
Well, time out. Let me ask you something, not to cut you off.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin, there isn't a 3-strike law. So maybe that's why
That's where she started driving.
Okay. Because I don't know if you know this. We used to joke about this in Chicago. Wisconsin has no law in DUI culture. If you get 3 DUIs, you have a license. Your license is expelled for the rest of your life, right?
Well,
3-strike law states, California.
Yeah, yeah.
Most places that
Illinois
have logic.
Like that?
Yeah. If you have 3 DUIs, you're done for done.
Yeah.
Wisconsin does not have a 3-strike law for DUIs. There was a woman, sorry to interject, but there was a woman, I remember reading a story, she had 12 DUIs.
Yeah, I've always heard those stories. And you're
but
like,
Wisconsin! Because Wisconsin cops are like, come on, Betty, get home, will you? And she's like, all right, you get it at home. They're like, wow,
shit. Gotta take you in.
Come on. Will you follow us? Will you follow us? Like, Wisconsin has that, like, drinking country lifestyle like, where they're like, she's fine.
You're queer. Yeah. Like, falls asleep. And like, we gotta take her in.
Yeah, so your sister started with one of her dozen in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so So even minor things, like backing up into a light pole. Backing up into a parked car.
Come on.
But they're considered...
They are accidents. Yeah.
Crashing into the island at a gas station.
While you're just leaving the gas station. Just taking off?
Yeah. Just hit and then like damage the whole side of the car.
There you go. Leaving a kid. Leaving a dog.
But she's also... Don't think it's just she's also been T-boned and she's also...
Oh, she's been hit.
But at her fault.
Like, of course. Yeah, of course.
She's been T-boned. She's rear-ended people. She's T-boned other cars.
Have you driven, have you been in a vehicle with her recently?
Yeah, she just has no spatial awareness. Not recently, no.
Right.
And like, also, you know, there, it's one of those things too. Like, if you like driving, there's things that you think are intuitive that somebody who is a bad driver, you're like, what are you doing?
I couldn't agree fucking more. It's crazy.
And like, you're doing this wrong.
Why would you do it like that? You know, when you say that, when you go, why? Okay.
Yeah. You're like, why aren't you going right now?
Yeah.
Why did you stop?
Right.
Why are you turning here?
Right.
Like all of that. So,
why?
But I remember as one of the, like, my dad is pretty composed, you know? Like, I've seen him get mad, but he's pretty composed. And when we were in high school, I remember they had like a built-in dresser to the wall.
In your room?
In his room.
Okay.
Like the dresser was, like it came with the house. It's built into the wall. And I remember that my mom told him something and he was opening a drawer and he pulled it out of the wall and the whole thing came out of the wall. And I was like, oh, shit. And so I was like, what happened? And she had told him that my sister had just called and told her that she got a speeding ticket for going 105 in a 55. And he was like, she was 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so he was so mad. And then he called her and he was like, what are you doing? And she was like, I was dancing. Like, that's why I didn't know.
She was dancing?
He was like, wait a minute, you're driving. And she was like, yeah, but I was like, driving and
no,
dancing.
No, you're driving a vehicle. No.
No, she's like, I was raging, I didn't really realize how fast I was going.
I like your sister.
Yeah.
Although I never want to be near her on the road.
In a vehicle, it's real dangerous.
Well, be safe, Tom. Okay. Don't ever get near your sister ever again in a car. I want to say this. I really appreciate you as a person, as a comedian, and as a friend, because you're great at all three. Before I end the episode, I want to say, this is me being sincere. When I started this podcast, Tom was going to help me out, and I was very grateful for it, and I mean that. And the only reason I didn't take help from Tom is because Christina's advice was just better than yours.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Christina was more intuitive. She was smarter. She had just better ideas.
Yep.
Tom said you should rent an airplane hangar at LAX and do it from there.
Yep.
I went there. They wanted $8,700 a month for a closet. And then I was like, what about the whole hangar? Tom says, I need a hangar. Yep. And they were like, that's insane.
It's 150 grand.
It was crazy. Yeah, I couldn't. Anyway, I didn't take your advice, and I'm glad I didn't because it was so ill.
Thank you.
Such bad advice. But I appreciate you.
Because
when I started this podcast, literally, you were one of the people I talked to about it. I was like,
yeah,
I kind of want to do it. Is this a bad idea?
No.
And you were very promotional of it, and I appreciate you for that.
Absolutely.
You taught me a lot as a friend. As a comedian, you've taught me that you can get away with anything on stage as long as you pretend like it's funny. And that's something I've learned from you.
And I learned that, you know, from my son.
So thank you for being here. And I end every episode the same way. I want you to look in the camera when I get off camera.
Okay.
And I want you to end it with one word or one phrase of your choosing. I'm going to walk off and then you are ending the episode. Look in the camera, one word or one phrase.
Piggy.
In here, we pour whisk.
You are that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.